Hallelujah. Oh, okay, yeah, please come. All right, so Pastor Mo was able to tell us his story, you know, going to the abroad, going to Germany, actually. So, Pastor, sir, you know, going to the U.S. several years ago, right, at the beginning, what was it like? How easy, how hard was it? Were you able to go with mommy or you went alone like he did? And settling down, settling in, how easy or how hard was it? Yes, sir.
Thank you for that. Hello?
Yes, sir. Hello, sir.
Okay. So, even though I left Nigeria as a potential American citizen because I got my green card on my arrival at the airport, I left with my wife and my son, who was 10 years old, as at that time when we left. My cousin that filled the visa application for me was our host. So we have a place to stay, and we're sure of at least 2 or 3 square meals. The number one surprise for me was that I failed driving test when I first got to America. My wife got a driver's license before I did. My first job in America was like something you call food co. Here, I was serving gallons of milk, all kinds of fruits on the shelf for customers to come and buy. And I was doing 2 jobs, even at that time. When I closed from Publix, that was the name of the grocery store, I would go and sell computers. I was interested in selling computers because before I left here, my knowledge and exposition to computer was limited. And I didn't want that to be a hindrance because I know in that world, computer is what makes people to make moves. So I was selling computers. In the job that I was doing in Publix, I was fired. In the job where I was selling computers, I was fired. They fired me because they called me Mr. Volume. What does that mean? When you sell computer for a company, you have to sell what they call the guarantee or what will enable the owner of the... Every computer comes with a 1-year guarantee from the company. But the company that you are working for wants you to sell another 2-year guarantee on the computer. And that is what the company uses to make money. If you sell any computer pieces and you sell the guarantee on it, they make good money. On the computer itself, their profit is just about $3 to $5. But when you sell that guarantee additional 2 years, they can make as much as $250 on a piece of computer. So I was selling their computers without selling the guarantee on it. And they thought I was destroying their business. So they fired me. When they fired me and I got home, I locked myself up in my room for 3 days. And I said, God, I didn't manipulate anything to come here. You brought me here. You guaranteed me to be a citizen of this country, and I know that I have a purpose to be an impactful person here. How can I be fired from companies one after the other? For 3 days, I didn't leave my room, no food, no drink. In fact, my wife called my brother and said, look, this boy has gone crazy. He hasn't come out of the room in the last 3 days. But what I was determined and desperate to know then was to ask God, God, am I missing something? Do you want me to pursue my career as a physician here, or do you want me to be a pastor? And those are the two options that I took before him. God, you want me to be a pastor in this country, or do you want me to be a physician? By the end of the third day, the answer was clear in my mind. That for you, this is why I brought you here, because your purpose for me here is along this line. And I can go back and look back now and see that God didn't make a mistake when it comes to that.
Hallelujah.
But when it comes to how tough does it become when you just got there? If you didn't know God sent you there, you put your car in a reverse gear. Actually, my wife one day said, I'm going back if you are not going. And I said, bye-bye. I'm not going back. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, Aram. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. So this question has to do with purpose, but is narrowed to marital affairs. The person is saying that, can you please discuss more on the part of fulfilling purpose maritally by avoiding mistakes when choosing a partner? Says it is one thing to have clarity in purpose and miss it maritally. So the person wants more light on choosing a marital partner while still, you know, choosing. I don't know.
This is very instructive and very important. When I got married, I was a very terrible, crazy, lost sinner. I got married when I was in the world. I got married in the state of my backsliding, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, not wanting to have anything to do with God. But this is the truth. You can't stand on the altar of God and lie. The first day I met my wife, I had God. That is your wife. And that very first time we had to go out together, like, let's go eat or let's go drink, I told her, look, lady, you are very young. She was maybe around 20 that time. And me, I've been into every market in the world looking for women. Now, like my brother's coat in the church, I've decided to leave that behind me. Now, I'm ready to start a family. If you are still looking for trial and error, please go. But as far as I'm concerned, you are my wife. And nothing can change that. Even if you are not a believer in Christ, God can still talk to you. That's my conclusion, because he did talk to me. God knows our heart. That's number one. Then God knows the purpose for which he has given you breath. And God will be so careful to make sure you don't miss his mark. You can hear him and pretend not to hear him. Or you can hear him and disobey the instruction you are hearing. But even as an unbeliever, I know I had God. And I know if I obey what I'm hearing, my life will be better off. When we met, I told her, I'm a backsliding Christian. I will still end up serving God diligently. And that, of course, kind of increased her confidence in this guy. Because even though she agreed she was going to marry me, I was still in the world. She still doesn't trust me enough to say, hey, this guy will have some sidekick. So, you understand? Which I did until I became born again, to be honest. But I knew I've had God. And I knew I was going to stay on the instruction that I've had. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
All right, so I'm going to sort of combine this next set of questions because they are similar. So someone says that if I've been making decisions about my life, how do I know that that is what God wants for me? For example, I want to study nursing. I've applied to study nursing. But how do I know for sure that that is what God wants me to do? Then somebody else goes further to say that if I'm doing something and it's fetching me good income, is that enough for me to say that, okay, yes, this is what God wants me to do because it's working out, it's going well, and I'm successful?
I can pick up the second one straight away. That it is successful, I think that's a clear answer. It doesn't mean it is God's will for you. And as far as how can I be sure, I think as Christians, many times we put a burden of certainty on ourselves that is unreal. Sure. Sure is a very big word. So I was speaking to you a few minutes ago saying God called me to go to Germany. If you came to me and said, are you 100% sure? If I was going to be real with you, I would say, I think so. I hope so. So the key answer is, as long as your heart is right before God, your motives are right before God, even if you make a mistake, it'll be honest mistakes God will guide you through. Let's just have a clear, clean heart before God and move as he leads you. But as for I'm sure, yeah, many times we're not.
Thank you so much, sir. So this question, I think, is kind of directed towards Pastor Mo. Because, you know, you were telling us that you had opportunities from UK, even as a fresh graduate, and you didn't go. So this person is asking that, how do I differentiate between an obsessive desire and the purpose of God for me? And then somebody too said that I've been prophesied to that I will travel abroad, but I personally do not desire to do so. How do I go about it?
I'll start with the second one again. I don't see how God bypasses your soul. So when a person says, I don't desire to go, that's your soul. So I don't see how all that is bypassed and a prophet externally then directs your life. So I think for somebody who says, I don't desire to go, or somebody prophesied to me that I'll go, let's just put that in the basket of a prophecy that missed the way to you. Your desire, your soul, follow your heart, is what I'll say to that person. And the first part of it, it's again a difficult thing. When the purpose of God is on your heart, it can only work if it becomes obsessive. If you become taken over by it, is when it works. So to separate between how do I know I'm just being obsessive about this or is the purpose of God is tough. Because if it's the purpose of God on your heart, you can't separate me from it. It's a tough one.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay, sir. So when you were telling us about your story, you mentioned that you had applied for the visa once. They slammed the door down, and then you applied the second time and it worked. So this person is saying, how do you advise someone that has been denied visa twice, but has a strong conviction of traveling out, and the financial struggle is real? So that is, every time that they have to apply again, the financial implications of that is too much for them, but they are convinced that they want to travel out.
I would say step back. After once, twice, three times of being denied, step back and reassure yourself that that's the purpose of God for your life. And then you are at it again. Meanwhile, let life continue. So what I didn't tell you is between when they rejected me and when I applied again, you know, we preachers, when we speak in absolute terms. So I said they denied and then I applied as if I applied tomorrow. No. Between first application and second application, I had a job. I had a job that I was working and sustaining my family. So if somebody met me and said, what do you do? I wouldn't say my job is trying to travel. That's not a job. My job is I work as this at that company. Meanwhile, there is the purpose of God in front of me.
Thank you, sir. I'll just move on to another question then. So this is similar to a question that you already answered, but you might want to just like hammer down on it again. It says, what if I travel out and doors open for me? Then have I fulfilled God's purpose?
Not sure I understand it.
If I travel out and I get there and things begin to work, like God is just doing so many amazing things, the amazing testimonies, is that proof that, okay, traveling out was actually God's will for me?
Let's answer the question in 20 years' time.
All right, thank you, sir.
No, you see, when he was talking earlier, he talked more about purpose than the profit. If you get there and you are just from breakthrough to breakthrough to breakthrough to breakthrough, the question you should ask yourself is this. All of these breakthroughs and benefits, is it confirming purpose of why I'm here? Or is this a distraction for the reason why I'm here? I think that is very important.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So this is to Pastor Adetunji. This person says, I've been living with dyslexia, unable to spell words and read words correctly for over 20 years. Dyslexia.
Okay.
Unable to spell words or read words correctly for over 20 years. I had to Google the spelling even before writing this. I've prayed about it. I've been having this obstacle and it's been keeping me in shadows for years. I even run away from a lot of things that I have passion for. The secret sometimes kills me, kills my dreams and my life. Sir, you said God has a plan for me. Is this God's plan, or is God's plan for me to live with this for life?
Thank you. I can tell you the stories of the people that I know because I've heard from them. Pastor Benny Hinn was born a stammerer. Even my pastor here was a stammerer even up to the university. None of those things can ever stop the purpose of God. Listen to me. Part of the package of the redemption of our soul is healing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Therefore, there is no way dyslexia can make you feel less of yourself. Little children, ye are of God. The greater one is in the inside of you. 2 days ago, we were taught a lesson of faith. There is enough power in the scripture to raise the dead. And I'm sure that power also can heal dyslexia. What am I saying? Cry to God all night today. Come to the celebration service tomorrow morning, and you will leave here healed.
Amen.
In the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, sir. Thank
I
you.
I just quickly ask. I don't know who that person is, but whoever you are, let's just agree together. Let's hold hands together and receive healing. Let's receive healing right now in the name of Jesus. Hold hands together. Every one of us, that person is among us right now. And if we agree together, more of us shall agree together as touching anything. It shall be done for us of our Father which is in heaven. We'll lay our hands, whoever it is being laid hands upon right now. We'll lay our hands upon the sick right now and they recover in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that foul spirit now in the name of Jesus. And I call that young man, young lady, whatever it is, healed, whole, delivered, complete, restored in the name of Jesus. That's what we agree together on now in the name of Jesus. Please share your testimony in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
So this is a question that is quite recurring. It says, how do I know God's purpose for my life? And I'll just qualify that a little bit because this is a question I myself have. Like I mentioned earlier, I just got a job. I just moved to Lagos. I don't know why I have the job. I don't know if there's something I'm supposed to do there. So I guess the question is, are there things that we can actually do, like practical steps to discover purpose?
I alluded to this earlier on. You are in the belly of God before you got into the belly of your parents. In the purpose and the vision that God has for you, the only one that knows it is God, and the only one he will reveal to is you. Because God is not a gossip. If a Christian born again filled with the Holy Spirit, any prophecy over your life that does not agree with what God has already told you, you have to take it only with a grain of salt. The Bible makes us to understand that God is speaking all the time. But because of the noise of the market, because of the distractions that go on in our life every day, we don't hear it. I just shared my own experience. I got fired back to back from 2 jobs. And I said, I'm not going out of this room until I hear God. God, what is happening? And by the time I was leaving that room, I knew clearly, because I had God clearly, the path he wanted me to walk. The closer you are to God, the easier it becomes for you to be able to hear him. Because he will not shout you down. He will only talk to you with a still, gentle voice. I challenge every one of you that is listening to me. Take one day in a month. For me and my family, it's usually one Saturday. Take one day in a month. Don't come out of your room. Don't talk to anybody on your phone. If you are married, let it be you and your wife. And spend time. For us, most of the time, we don't have any prayer request. We just want to maintain that closeness and that fellowship. God is more interested in a fellowship with you than he's interested in blessing you. Does anybody understand that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's more hungry for your presence to come to him than he is in giving you hands out. Cultivate the habit of spending time in God's presence. And usually, either alone or together with your wife. When Jesus was teaching about prayer, sir, he said, lock yourself up, right? And talk to your father. He didn't say come to church and let somebody lay hands on you. That is good. But that can only take you to a depth. If you want to do business in the deep, for only the deep collect unto the deep, you have to cultivate the habit of spending time. I repeat that. Cultivate the habit of spending time in God's presence. And you will never be confused about how your journey should be. He ordered the step of the righteous. That's what he says. But you see, if you are not used to getting close to him to hear his voice, you probably won't know what to do. And you'll be doing yourself a disservice. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Let me just add to that that when it comes to this, I sense for many young people, the question of purpose of God for my life, how do I know it, all that. And we're looking for, like I said before, we're looking for a level of clarity that is not real. So I'll say to you, whatever your hands find to do, Just start your life. And the only people that miss it are people whose hearts and motives are not to start with. If your heart is right and all you just want to do is please God, even your mistakes will be fine. They will be part of your lessons along the line. So, for example, you're saying, I got a job in Lagos. Should Lagos be the place I go? If you have no clarity against it, go for it. And with the clarity of heart, I just want to please God. Like doctor is talking about, I'm always in communion with God. I'll be fine at the end of the day.
Sorry, Ebi, just for a second. I just want to take a step further and ask that, would the same principle now apply in relationships? Like, this person I want to marry, you don't have any conviction against it, but at the same time, you're like, is this it? So does the same principle apply?
I think it applies to all of areas of our lives. I speak about the red light, green light kind of thing, that in your spirit as a child of God, there are things where there is a flashing red light. Everything else might look okay, but in your spirit, there's a flashing red light. That's an absolute no. But many things are in the amber range. If, like we're saying, your soul is in a good place. Your heart is in a good place. Your steps are ordered of God. You are not just this person following your eyes, your own. So even in the area of who to marry, which of us will say that there have never been any doubt? Step out with the conviction of, I'm in the will of God. I hope I am.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. So this person has about four questions, but there's one that really actually stands out for me. So I think this is a question many people should have asked before jackpotting, because they get there and then there's a shocker. It says, how do you find and build a godly community when you arrive? I mean, when you arrive there. And then also says, what practical steps did you take early on becoming financially stable? And the third one, what would you recommend for someone seeking both career growth and kingdom influence abroad?
I think one of the reasons we're dealing with this topic at this convention here is, as a church, we're being very aggressive now in our church planting in all these places in the world. So the first thing is, if you go anywhere, is there an existing Stone Church or a church in the making, or a plan, or can God use me? That's the starting point. That should even, I'll say to some of you, in deciding which city do I go to. So I think I'm going to America. Where do we have churches in America? Then at the moment I'm arriving into a familiar community straight away. Your chances of doing well astronomically increased if you land in the right community straight away. So that I would say to most people straight away, that are placed, and some of you, if you think there is a call of God on your life and you want to go abroad, please, there will be the apostolic oversight in that area of the world. Speak to them and let people help you through that process.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, sir.
Sorry, I just want to make a quick announcement that a QR code is going to be displayed on the screen, so we want you to register with it. That's the announcement I wanted to make. So I'll just move on to the next question. And this is for both of you, sirs. Were there any unexpected cultural shocks, even as a Christian, when you arrived in the countries that you went to? And how did you adjust to it? Also, how did you then balance ambition with kingdom purpose after relocating? Of course, I think you were able to tell us that quite clearly, sir. So the question will go to, how did you balance your ambition, career success, with kingdom purpose after relocating?
How many of you will remember what Reverend Salami said yesterday? Don't send your little ones to America unless you know over there they have a standby parent that will take them in and nurture them so they don't derange. Talking of culture shock, there are thousands. But the first one that will impress you is this. One day, my son, he was maybe 11th grade or 10th grade, went to school in the bus. And while he was playing with his friend in school, one of them gave him earring, the one that you can clip. So my son in school clipped the earring to his left ear, and he forgot it there. He came down from the bus, opened the door, and was coming into the house. The mom was coming down from the staircase. The first thing the mom noticed about him is the earring. She just jumped from the staircase on his son, both of them on the ground, and started pumping him. Where and how can you bring earring into this house? But to a typical American family, that is just the way it is. Men wear more earrings than women. This is summertime. Summer is here in America. More than half of the population in America walk on the street almost naked. Hello? Everything is not covered. And I'm serious about that. And you wonder, how would this person leave home looking like this and going on the streets? You have to pray in tongues to go to the supermarket. Hello? Because you will be assaulted by what you are not asking for. You understand what I mean? You don't want to watch a lot of their TV programs because you have to keep repenting every time before you come before the Holy Spirit based on the assault of what you have seen. You understand? So, the culture shock is a no giving. What my wife did can end her up in jail for beating up the son. And there is no question asked. If that boy go back to school the next day and they saw a mark of beating on him, he wouldn't have to complain. The teacher would take him to the headmistress or the headmaster for him to explain, how did you get the black eye? What is that swelling in your head? And when you get to that situation and you say, my mom beat me, the sheriff will be in your house that very day, and they take you away. So culture shock is part of what you have to live with. But what most of us have dealt with is to let our children know, you are not an American, no. You are from Ibadan. And in this house, our culture is Ibadan. Anything outside of that will be met with stiff penalty. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, sir. Okay, so I'm going to ask these two questions because this person says, does numerous visa refusal mean it's not God's plan for you? Then the second person says, would you not say that it was the favor of God that provided those opportunities for you before moving there? Should I take that again?
For me,
I guess so.
If you are refused several times, it doesn't mean it's not God's will or it's God's will. It just means you need to reassess. We should not just keep plowing on and plowing on without thinking. Stop, reassess. Be sure you're still on God's plan, and it doesn't change anything, either for or against. But it's an opportunity to reassess. And then if you say, talking about the opportunities, I guess the person is referring to things where I said, no, I'm not going to take it. The truth is, it's not every door that opens that God opened. And that's a major thing for us. It's not every door that opens the front of you that you say it was God who opened it. Before you jump into it, I think it makes sense to understand that, like I was starting with, Psalm 127, they can build. It didn't say they will not build. So things can be built. But at the end of it, it says, without me, they will do nothing. They will do all kinds of things, but all of it will be nothing.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Let me add this. My wife was the one that was interested in America. I wasn't. And as many times as she will mention it to that my brother, I'm not part of their discussion. One Sunday, we were in the Lagos church, when Lagos just was in Ikeja, just one branch. On that Sunday, Pastor Salim was prepared with a message to preach. But he didn't have the opportunity to preach that day. Because when the worship started and the Holy Spirit entered that room, it was like, this is heaven on earth. We were in the service for up till about 1:30 p.m., but there was no preaching. It was just worship, prayers, prophecies, and all of that. One of the brothers, I don't remember him till today, I don't know him if I meet him, came unto me and said, sir, I see you in a congregation worshiping and raising up your hands. But the people around you are not this color. The people around you are all white. I think God is taking you somewhere. That was it. Nothing more or less. You remember I said I didn't apply? When my brother was here earlier on, when he got the letter from the UI post office for the DV visa and he brought it home, I took that letter and I hid it until he busted my bubble talking to my son, calling him American boy, that the mom started questioning him, and then I had to bring out the letter. What am I saying? God will speak to you if you care to listen to him. The Bible says that he opened his hands and he satisfied the longing in our heart. If you are hungry to hear God and you take time to fellowship, God will speak to you. I can tell you that authoritatively. You don't have to gamble. You don't have to miss the mark. God, seeing the transparency of your heart and knowing what you are hungry for, will not leave you to be hungry forever. He will speak to you. I can assure you of that. He will speak to you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so these ones are more technical questions. It says that this person has been applying, and the person has an international passport, but all the agents that the person has been trying to work with, they've been failing left and right. So he's saying, is there any advice that you can give on this? The person is trying to travel out. I just want to add one more question to it, which is that when a person does get to travel out, can they get a scholarship and a working visa simultaneously? Because apparently this person has heard rumors online that it's not possible to get both at the same time. So they want to know if they can school and work at the same time.
Okay, let me say, first of all, that if you've come to the conclusion you want to travel abroad, you need to ask yourself, what's my avenue for traveling abroad? So either I am going to have a skill that a company will be looking for and employ me, I'm looking for a work visa, or I'm going to go to study and I'm looking for a study visa, or can't think of many more. There was the visa lottery thing, which was there at that time. clear path. What's the path I'm taking? One path you should never take. And I know that many people listening today may not want to listen to that. You should never take. It's the path of, I'm just going to get a visit visa. And then when I get there, we will sort it out. I beg you, in the name of all that is godly, don't waste your time, don't waste your life. The demeaning nature of what goes on that path is not worth it. So when I say I'm traveling, I'm looking for an agent and all that, okay, what exactly are you, what kind of visa are you looking for? You have an admission to university, you're looking for a student visa, you have a job, you're looking for a work visa, you have a husband or wife, you're looking for a family visa. Those are clear lines. Where we get in trouble is these gray areas we enter into. And I really would like to beg everybody, please, I beg you. It sounds attractive. It sounds lucrative. It is not. It is not. You want to go? How do I get admission? That's a valid question. What skill can I have or what job experience that somebody will give me a job? Valid question. When we sort that out, then how do I get a visa for what I have?
Going back to the initial question of, so what if I know what I want to do now, but the agents I'm trying to work with, they are all just like finicky. They are not working out. It's failing. What do you do in that instance?
The reason I said get a clear path is, I may be wrong. Maybe somebody can correct me because I may not be up to date. But even the use and the need of an agent comes to light when our path is not clear. These things are clear. I have an admission. The path to apply for a student visa, I don't need an agent. I have a job. The path to apply for a work visa, I don't need an agent. And if you are smart enough that you want to go abroad, you can read websites. You can do all of that. So I beg you, majority of these agents there are just pleasing agents. Can I get an amen from the house?
Okay, so this person says, this is for Pastor Adetunji. So I'm going to ask you two questions together because they are kind of related. The first person says, I heard from the Lord about a guy. He said that the man will be my husband. Well, I've prayed about it and I still got the same answer from the Lord. I spoke to this guy about it, but he refused. What do you think I should do after hearing from the Lord twice? Then the second person says, I've done a few things that I'm not proud of, but I still have a witness of being in alignment. I like a guy, and he does as well. He likes me too. I prayed about him, but I still feel in alignment. But he seems confused. One time, he wants me around. Another time, he doesn't want me around. We've had our fallouts, but I've reconnected to God, but I still don't know why I want to stay with him. He trusts me and loves me, but doesn't seem to accept. What should I do? So it's a case of a lady that likes a guy, but the guy is saying no. Then there's another lady that likes a guy, but the guy is not like moving towards God's pattern for her.
We were told yesterday during the morning session that what do men want most in their marriage? And everybody chorused respect. And that bubble was busted. Nicely done by the man that was a revelation of the scriptures. Why am I using that example? There is this misconception that a woman cannot approach a guy to say, will you marry me? Are there people with that kind of mindset in the house? How can I go to a man and say to him, God told me you are my husband? I'm not condemning you because that is the culture where you and I grew up. How many of you know T.D. Jakes? How many of you know Jerita Jakes? T.D. Jakes was ministering in a church. And Jerita went to that church, sitting at the back of the pew. After T.D. Jakes finished ministering and praying for people, she walked up to him and said, God told me that you are my husband. Hello? Jerita and T.D. Jakes have been husband and wife for how many years now? I think the problem will be the spiritual nature and maturity of either the woman or the man. Because if somebody says to you, God said so-so to me about you, you will not use sentiment to reply or presumptive about what your response will be when you yourself have not gone to seek God. You need to seek God to see or for God to confirm to you whether that woman or that man was being just purely sentimental. Maybe because he thought you looked good, or maybe because he thought you had a good career, maybe because he thought you come from a good family. But in Christendom, like in and a community of the Stone Church, I think that should be something that is straightforward to deal with as a good Christian. God is talking to you about someone, and you know it is God talking to you, and you have prayed about it. Don't let fear steal from you the purpose of God that he has for you. Don't let sentiment or preconception deny you of the path of blessing that God has predestinated for you. If the guy is saying no to you today, go back and pray. Because the guy that is telling you no today will come and beg you tomorrow. That doesn't mean you should fight him or talk about him to everybody that cares to hear. If he hasn't had the conviction that you have, then pray him to the presence of God where he can hear. Salami said the wife will pray him into doing anything she wants him to do. That works for her, it can also work for you. So don't let fear bring intimidation to your decisions.
Thank you, sir.
Can I quickly
yes,
add?
Please. Yes, please.
Exactly in line with that. When it comes to the issue of choice of life partner and all, I sense that that's an issue for, I mean, it's clear. The old thing of God said this: if I were a lady and a young guy comes to me and says, God told me that I should marry you, I would be offended. Because what I would hear is that, as for me, I don't really like you, but God said I should marry you, Sha. That's what I would hear. So after you've heard God, you know God spoke to you. That's not what to put in front. I like you. What about that? I like you. I would like to, whatever you like to. So that it's not a case of, left to me, there are better ones, but God said. What I just wanted to add to that is, let's not use that to cage ourselves and all that. Of course, as a child of God, you must hear God when it comes to this very important area of your life. But then I like you. We're not going to live together every day of our lives on God said, God said, God said, God said.
Thank you, sir. In contemporary English, what Pastor Mo is saying, that let's learn to raise people up. Raise people up.
Okay, so this person says, I know my purpose is to be a music minister, but I grew up listening to secular songs. I tried to sing as a gospel minister, but I don't feel qualified for that because I easily get relegated. But I find joy when I sing secular songs. So what can be the solution?
I said when I was talking earlier on that as good as your talent may be, if all you have is your talent, your destination at the end of time will not be something that you will be proud of. And I use the example of Michael Jackson. Anything that God has given you that does not bring glory and praises to Him will destroy you. Because what is happening is the devil is using this thing that God has gifted you to get glory. Does that make sense? When you use your talent and your gift to worship God, God is not interested in making you feel good about it. Because God doesn't exist in the flesh, where the idea of feeling good or becoming popular dwells. When God uses you and gifted you and His anointing is upon you, first and foremost is for His glory. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. If you feel good about it, good. If you feel rejected because you are looking for popularity, I'm sorry. Your motive is wrong. And you feel frustrated. Until you have a change of perspective that this is not about how you feel or how popular you become or what is in it for you. That is the first thing you have to deal with. Like Mrs. Awosika was saying this morning, if it is not unto Him 100%, then you have to do a rethink. Because first and foremost, God is interested in Himself more than He's interested in your benefit. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sorry, just a step further on that same question, because I think there's an underlying question that the person is trying to ask, is that, is it possible to not necessarily do gospel and to do secular music, but it's still to His glory, just like we have secular jobs, like you're a doctor, sir, but it's not a Christian religion, Christian profession.
Let me say, I get what that person is saying. Music is essentially spiritual, so you can't compare it to, say, a secular job. Music is a spiritual thing. Behind every genre of music is a spirit. So the moment you expose yourself to anything, particularly music now, you're exposing yourself to the spirit behind that music type. So I think it's very clear. If you're a child of God, you've got a musical talent, it's meant for God. That's what it's meant for. So the only place that talent and that gifting of God will find full expression is in service to God. Nowhere else. So my answer to that person is very clear. Don't do the middle of the fence, top of the fence game. Either you want to serve and you go for it in the kingdom, or you say, I don't want to do that. I just want to go do something else. Don't stay in the middle. It doesn't work.
You have to remember that Lucifer was created with every instrument of music. And for God knows how many millions of years, he was the closest angel of his presence. Just because of the fact that he makes music before God. If you are making music in the secular realm, be careful who your master is. Hello?
Hello, sir.
You may have name, you may have make money, which is very easy. But the devil knows what he's doing with your life. And you have to be careful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. A round of applause for our pastors. Because of our time, we'll not be able to take more questions. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you. We can do better than that, guys. I'm sure some of the questions that were not asked, some of your answers came from other people's questions, right? So thank you, sirs. Thank you.